Let's pray together. Father God, as we sing that song, we sing in remembrance of the hundreds of years that your people waited in anticipation of the birth of the Messiah, this one who was promised from the beginning. And we sing alongside them, waiting for Jesus' return. O come, Emmanuel. Return to us. We wait. We know your promises are true, that you will come back, but we wait. And in this season, and then on this day, as we talk about joy, as we celebrate joy, we stand with families and new life and joy there. We stand with families in tragedy and heartbreak. And yet there is joy there. God, we recognize that it's not happiness. It's, as we read, it is your grace poured out to us. And so we celebrate joy today. We thank you. As we turn to your word, God, this morning, we just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear from you, that we'd be led a little bit deeper in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we begin this morning, let's turn, we're going to start right off in Scripture in 1 John. It's a little tiny book right near the back. You're going to miss it on your way to Revelation. If you get that far, you're too far. Back up just a few pages because it's not very far before that. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to chapter 2, verse 2. This is what it says. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our own sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Amen. It's Christmas season. It's Christmas time. We're only a week away. Are you ready? We're running out of time. I was talking to a couple of people this morning, and they told me they were ready, and I thought, how did you manage that? You're like 7 days away, 6 days away yet. But Christmas is absolutely my favorite time of year, by a long shot. Easter is great. Resurrection, huge. Obviously, a very big deal. Christmas is my favorite time of year, for sure. And I love it for lots of reasons, but I love it mostly because the whole world is talking about it. And I love that. I think it's hilarious, but I love that. Many people here and around the world don't celebrate Christmas, and some are even hostile toward the idea, but the whole world is talking about it. At some level, under all of that, at some level, everyone at least kind of knows what it's about. And I think that's really cool. We've layered on a whole mountain of decorations and gifts and buying things and big meals and stress and rushing and plans, Santa and reindeer and songs we can and can't play on the radio, the war on Christmas that the news yammers on about every year. But through it all, the whole world is talking about Christmas. And at the bottom of all of that, at the foundation of that, is the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world. I think that's amazing. I think it's so cool. We celebrate the birth of Jesus together. We decorate. I appreciate, you know, the city of Leduc decorates for Jesus' birthday. It's wonderful of them to do that. We decorate together with family and friends. We celebrate that hope has come into the world. Even if you don't believe, what are they talking about everywhere? Peace, love, family, joy. It's a season of connection and relationship and giving and sharing. Whether they know it or not, all because of Jesus. Jesus changes everything. And on that night, 2,000 years ago, the creator of the universe, the Word, who spoke all of this into being, the beginning and the end, was born as a baby to save us all. Christmas is amazing. I really don't care what everyone else is doing or not doing, what the world is worried about, all the controversies and arguments, because that is worth celebrating. The Messiah has come. And if someone says to me, "Happy holidays," I get really weird. I get really intense. Whether they have no idea what they're necessarily talking about, but I get really intense because it really is the happiest holiday. Isn't it? Whether they acknowledge it or not, we are saved. We're free. He's here. It's awesome. Every year in the church, we walk through this season we call Advent. It's a time of preparation for the celebration of the birth of the Messiah, the Christ child. And for these 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, we take our time and we look at the different pieces that Jesus brought. Hope, joy, peace, love, and salvation. And we look at it in all kinds of different ways. This year, we're walking through one of my favorite songs of all time. This one really is probably in my top three. It's one of the biggest and most popular Christmas songs of all. O Holy Night. And I'm going to read pieces of it this morning. It's going to be hard for me not to like break out into song because it's so good. It's one of the most powerful and beautiful songs ever written. And every single line is just so full of hope and truth and huge ideas. It paints just this incredibly powerful picture of who Jesus is and what he really means. And so as we try to get ourselves back to the truth behind this season of celebration, this song, as it points us to Scripture, is an awesome place to start. A couple of weeks ago, we started in verse 1, obviously. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. The thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. It speaks of how truly broken and lost we were, how dark and scary our world and our lives of sin really are. That anticipation, the longing for a Savior, the hope that breaks on the horizon as the promised Messiah comes. Last week, as we enjoyed our amazing kids program, and once again, you guys did an awesome job. You guys did an amazing job singing and remembering your lines and everything. It was really, really good. As we celebrated that together, Pastor Dennis just led us briefly through that first chorus. The only response that we can really have to that overwhelming grace and hope, fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. The worship. The celebration. It's an overwhelming moment. Picture that scene, that stable, that manger. Did they understand what they were looking at? Do we? This week we're going to look at the second verse. And it talks about being drawn to the hope and the grace and the light of God through Christ. The significance of the Savior who was born a man, our God and our friend. It says this: led by the light of faith serenely beaming, with glowing hearts by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star so sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in all our trials born to be our friend. He knows our need. To our weakness is no stranger. Behold your King. Before him lowly bend. Behold your King. Before him lowly bend. I love this verse. It paints this amazing picture. I picture this dark room with Jesus in a manger in the middle of that room. And from that manger, there's this light glowing around him. And we, together, having been huddled in the shadows since the fall in the Garden of Eden, separated, hiding from the presence of God, the light of God, ashamed, afraid, angry, humiliated, broken, we together creep forward toward that light, drawn to it, this hope that has come into the world. We're fascinated, we're confused, we're even afraid, but something in us is drawing us toward him. This is so far from where we started. The very first thing that God said was, let there be light. That's what we were created in. God created the world in light. This light that brings life. It feeds our world. It reveals beauty and wonder. But it also reveals our sin. In John chapter 3, it says this: this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead. Men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. We want so badly to hide our sin, our shame. We're like children closing their eyes when they're caught doing something wrong. If I can't see you, you can't see me. God called out to Adam and Eve in the garden when they hid, "Where are you?" As if he didn't know. As if he didn't know everything. Where they were, what they had done, and what it meant. 1 John chapter 1, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And that is what we try to hide from. We don't want to be exposed. It's scary to us. It's terrifying. But still, the light of this manger draws us in. John 1 tells us what that looked like a little bit. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Some translations say the darkness has not understood it. I like that. Because Jesus can be confusing and scary. He can even hurt. You think of if you've been in a dark room for a long time, and then you flick on a bright light suddenly. You cover your eyes, you shrink back, you try to hide, it hurts. It's disorienting. But it's good. Our sin does the same thing. We want to hide, we want to cover our shame and our guilt. We can't see brokenness or mess in a dark room. We can hide it there. But that's not life. That's not what God created us to be, to hide in the shadows. We need light. And that's what Jesus is. John 1, verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The light reveals our sin, and that can really hurt a lot. But if we come close, it also brings healing. And then it can bring life to everyone, to anyone. That passage reminds me of the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. This woman comes to gather. Jesus has been walking around with his disciples doing ministry in different places. And they come to this town, and he sends his disciples into town to get some food. And he sits down at the well. Not by accident. Jesus knows what he's doing. He always knows what he's doing. And he waits. And this woman comes out, and she's coming to gather water in the middle of the afternoon when she knows she'll be alone. The women of the town would gather water first thing in the morning. And it was a communal act. They enjoyed doing that together. It was a time of fellowship and just sharing together. She comes alone because she knows what everyone in town thinks of her. And she meets Jesus there. She finds Jesus sitting at this well. Jesus asks her for a drink, and they banter back and forth, and Jesus tells her about needing and finding true life. And he says in verse 13, everyone who drinks this water in this well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. She's intrigued. She's open. She's interested. And then Jesus flicks on the lights. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she says. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. What you've said is quite true. Boom. Jesus shines a spotlight on her life. But she doesn't run. Her sin is exposed, but she doesn't hide. What does she do? Everything about her has been revealed, and she responds by getting angry, by getting defensive. No. Afraid, embarrassed. She goes into town and says, come and see this man who told me everything I ever did. Her sin is exposed by the light of God, and she rejoices in freedom. When our sin's exposed, do we find freedom or frustration? Do we find humility or shame? God gives us an opportunity when he shines that light on our life to respond to him. This woman was led by the light of faith, serenely beaming. And as we sing in this verse, she did not turn away. Jesus is the light that brings hope and life. And not just for the Israelites, as they kind of understood and thought, but for the whole world. For anyone and everyone, we all and every person who has ever lived is made in the image of God, created by him in that light, loved by him, known by him. This woman was a Samaritan, a group, a culture, a community that was rejected and despised by the Israelites, but not by God. His light was for her too. And she, like the wise men we sing about in this verse, men from another land and a culture far away, is drawn, welcomed, invited, as we all are, to find this hope and life in light of Jesus. This light that Jesus is. In John chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Anyone and everyone is invited to find life in him, if we follow him. And that's easy enough for us to say. We say it all the time. I'm a follower of Jesus. But what's the one thing we have to do if we want to be a follower of Jesus? We have to actually follow him. We have to move. We have to listen to him and watch him, to see where he is going and follow him there, to do what he is doing. Jesus didn't come so we could continue in the same way that we were going. He came to change everything, to change you and me. Doesn't matter where you come from, what language you speak, what culture you grew up in, he has invited us all to follow him. A Samaritan woman, pagan priests from a land far away following their astrology to his manger. Men and women, rich and poor, shepherds and kings, all bow at his cradle and his cross. He knows our need. To our weakness is no stranger. as we just studied in Hebrews chapter 4. For we don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. You are not alone in your temptations, in your struggles. Jesus is there, and he really, really understands what you're going through. And he loves you. And he will help you if you will follow him. Behold your king, this baby in a manger, as we shuffle forward from the shadows, before him lowly bend. Behold, after all this time, after all we've done, behold your king, born for you, before him lowly bend. This Christmas, let the light of Jesus shine on your own life this morning, as we took a moment to think about the blessings and the ways that God has given us his joy, his grace poured out to us. Let his light reveal the places that you need to give up to him, the things that you're holding on to that you need to let go, so that he can lead you deeper and further into the new life that he promises us. Let's pray together. Jesus, you are the light of the world. And that light is an amazing and incredible gift and blessing. But it is scary to us because it reveals things about ourselves that we don't like. Pieces that scare us. Pieces that frustrate us. Pieces that embarrass us. And we can try to hide from it, but we're just closing our eyes. You see it all anyway. Everything is laid bare and exposed to you. So God, help us to open our eyes so that we can see it too. And we can know that you know it all. You've seen every part of our lives. And you want to give us your forgiveness if we'll receive it. Help us, God, in this season to bring our deeds into the light, our sin into the light, that you can burn it away and give us that freedom. The freedom that Jesus promised, the freedom that he is for us.